And I feel like I read this someplace actually recently, that they would sometimes have an announcer, a trumpeter, to announce their giving. Today, Reg is giving $1,000 to the church. And everybody would stop and go, that's amazing, Reg. That's amazing. And God, and here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, you just got your reward. When they clapped for you, that was the extent of your reward because you did it for them. So he's saying, because of the kingdom you believe in, the kingdom that you belong to, the relationship you're in with God, that what you and I get to do is to say, Father, there may be times when someone notices my giving, but here's my mindset. My giving is just for your awareness. My giving isn't to impress anybody. I don't make sure I have to drop a hint to somebody of what I gave. And he goes on and he plays that to several areas. So drop down to verse 6. When you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And then over to verse 18. You're fasting. Oh, actually, let me start in verse 16. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they were fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. That's actually a pretty pathetic picture. That I'm gonna fast this week, and here's what I'm going to do. When I go to church Sunday, I'm going to try to look really hungry. And when somebody else says they're going to lunch, I'll go, oh, I can't go. I'm fast. Sounds good, but I'm fasting. I'm going to make sure they know I'm suffering for my fasting. And Jesus is saying, you know what? You just got your total reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, and we could look at all the Gospels and find other teachings similar to this, where Jesus seems to be saying, you know what? The fact that you want your choices to matter, that's not crazy. I designed you to want your choices to matter. I just want you to be wise enough that you're aiming for the highest audience. You're not worried about pleasing man. You're not worried about impressing other sinners. You've decided that your treasure is pleasing the Father. So it's an aiming higher. So when we teach our children, and there's a aspect of truth to this. Now, sweetheart, I want you to do the right thing just because it's the right thing. Not because someone's going to give you a 50 cents for doing the right thing, or someone's going to give you a promotion for doing the right thing, or someone's going to notice and applaud for you. I want you to learn to do the right thing because it's the right thing. And here's the bottom line. That concept only matters because of this concept. So that what I hopefully I'm teaching my children and what I'm learning for myself is I don't do it for temporary, cheap, human gain. I do what I do because it pleases the Father. Now let's turn over to the passage that was read for us this morning, that Monica read out of 1 Corinthians 3. A passage we've looked at periodically, but it fits into this area right now in terms of comprehending our hope of reward. And I'm going to start at verse 12. Now, if any man builds on the... let me make sure 11 is in our thinking. No man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on that foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it. It is to be revealed with fire. The fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. And I want to give a little attention to that verse about God's search testing the quality. So many of you are familiar with this, but there is a thread of thought woven frequently through Scripture of God as a refiner. So we can look at plenty of passages where he compares working in our hearts to a refiner refining, where there's a refining pot for silver. And the goal is to get the silver purified so that all the dross is drawn off and removed. And that there's a furnace for refining gold, and you want that fire of refinement to, again, get rid of all the impurities. And so that mindset is in this passage, that someday my life, someday your life will be laid out before God. And what God is saying is, in that moment, my search will remove all the dross. So here's, he makes that contrast of gold, silver, precious stones. And he makes the contrast of wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, stubble. That's the dross. And he's saying, there's going to come a point where you and I together, we're looking at your life, and my search removes everything that is less than pleasing to me. Now, this is an important concept. What does he do with this? And so that recognition, every one of you has probably thought this or said this at some point, that sounds like a scary moment. Okay, Reg. And then he opens up the book. It'll be a big book. And there's all the details of my life laid out. And he goes, now, first of all, we're going to go through and remove everything that's dross. And I'm thinking, we're going to end up with 13 pages out of that big book that we get to keep. But here's what we really, really have to comprehend of the grace of God. The dross is genuinely, permanently, completely removed. And the Father's focus is not on the dross. So the Father's focus was on all the crud, all the wood, all the hay, all the stubble. The Father's focus truly was on that for every believer in one moment of time. And it is so important that we understand this so that we don't draw false conclusions out of this passage. That the Father's full attention to that dross was poured out at the cross on Jesus. And I trust that most, if not all of you, know that. But that needs to be kept in mind so that we wouldn't fear this moment when we stand in front of God. There will be no fear, there will be no shame, there will be no condemnation in that moment. I believe we talked about this, I think, in Sunday school last year. I believe there will be an honest acknowledgement of the loss of reward. We don't go to heaven and get stupid. So right now, I'm smart enough to know how regrettable that I have lost reward. I won't go to heaven and get dumber than that. In fact, I will be wiser than this, and I will fully comprehend the sorrow of reward loss. And that's how this passage says it, but reward will be lost. And I will not be ashamed. Reward will be lost, and I will not be humiliated. Reward will be lost, and I will not be embarrassed in comparison to you and the rewards you receive, whether they're more, whether they're less. We won't have that in us the way we would here on earth. That if somehow we could judge your whole week, and then today we had an award ceremony, and we said, well, we've examined everybody's righteous behavior for the week, and I would like to let you know that Abby won first prize. Most of you already knew that. No, I won't find the other person who didn't. And you know what? Somebody would be ashamed that Abby won first prize and they won second. Somebody could be ashamed that Abby won first and they won 27th. How many people are in the room? That somebody won 532nd and there aren't even that many people in the room. And we would naturally, here in this state, we would feel some degree of embarrassment. We might feel some degree of condemnation and shame. We would probably wonder what other people are thinking of us when we didn't win one of those prizes for righteousness. This will not be that moment. Part of it is we need to understand, again, the heart of God in giving us this teaching. The heart of God in giving us this teaching is for hope and motivation, not fear and shame. So God's saying, I want you to so look forward to this moment that you're not the person who's counting on the wood, hay, and stubble and focused on the wood, hay, and stubble. You're the person who is joyfully committed to building a life of gold, silver, and precious stones because you're looking forward to my pleasure. So Jesus says, and we've studied this again in Sunday school, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So that this reward stuff really matters, and it's always in the context of a love relationship. So one of the things that somebody brought up in our Sunday school discussion last week when we touched on this subject was the recognition that God knows our hearts. So I think it's possible for a Christian to just care about the rewards. And that would be foolish. That would be foolish to just care about the rewards. Because everything the New Testament is teaching is about being embedded in a love relationship with a living God who has done incredible things to rescue me and save me. And now my response is to love him back. And part of loving him back is to do what he says. And then part of my amazement and gratitude gets to be, not only am I going to get to do back for you things that you've asked of me as an expression of love, then there's this incredible generosity, Father, that you're even going to reward me for those choices. And the rewards will matter for the rest of life. Eternal life. Those rewards will matter for the rest of eternity. Now, if you were in Sunday school last week, if you weren't, well, I won't go there. There's grace for all. But if you were there, hopefully some of these thoughts have already been pondering and rolling around in your mind in this recognition that it's God who calls this a reward. It's Jesus calling this a reward. And so part of our faith, just this past week, I had a believer, a Christian in counseling, say, I don't want to try to understand the rewards. I don't want to think about the rewards. You know, I just want to do what I'm supposed to do. And I have to say this, that's foolish. Because if Jesus is calling this reward, if the God of the universe who created you and saved you is calling this a reward, and then he keeps giving you this teaching about reward, this God wants you contemplating and meditating and considering the hope and motivation that flow from the certainty of his rewards. And they won't be cheap. I know we've said that before. They won't be trinkets. So how you remember this, again, means I have to stay in the Word and I have to keep pondering the Word. But what he's saying is, at the moment when you're facing difficulty, at the moment when you might be paying a price for your walk with God. But I think for most of it even goes beyond that. Because again, most of you in this room probably won't be persecuted over the next week. Most of you won't go to jail for being a Christian. Most of you won't be arrested or beheaded. Most of you will simply face all the hassles and the tests of life that Jesus promised we would face. And what God is wanting you to remember, actually wanting us to remember, is that while we choose to please him in the middle of those hassles, while we choose to please him in the middle of just the tedium of life and the repetition of life. I was talking to Carrie. She's still in California helping her brother Chemo with the aftermath of her mom's death. And I was talking to her, and she said, the hardest part is just all the tedious details. So this big thing of trusting God, that sort of makes sense to her. But now trusting God while she does the tedious details and finding joy with God in the tedious details. And so that wisdom that you and I get to have of in the tedious details of life, in the hassles of life, in the frustrations of trying to figure out what would please the Father now. Sometimes it will be a big thing. Most of the time, it will be a choice of attitude. Can I show an attitude of grace in this situation? Can I express an attitude of trust? Can I believe in the Father's purposes getting worked out in me and choose that? And then the Father says, that's going to matter for the rest of eternity. Now, my favorite example, for some reason, two examples actually, of doing what pleases the Father, getting it down to the tedious, mundane stuff, is choosing that I not only mow the lawn, but that I mow the lawn in partnership with Jesus Christ. That's a real thing. Apply it to whatever is that thing for you. What do I do that just has to be done? And can I now recognize, Father, I want to do this in a way that you and I will celebrate, not that I mowed the lawn, but you and I will celebrate that I mowed the lawn in a love relationship with you. My other example is scrubbing toilets. I can remember in the Marine Corps, and I bet some of you remember this too, maybe from the Marine Corps, maybe from the Army, where we actually did have to do that crazy thing of scrubbing a toilet with a toothbrush. Not my toothbrush, but a toothbrush. And that recognition that if you're scrubbing a toilet, whether it's a toothbrush or all the proper equipment, that God's saying, please don't do that alone. Please don't just do that as a task. That no matter how mundane, how trivial, how unpleasant the task, please have this wisdom. I designed you to live, not just occasionally go there for important stuff. I designed you to live in joyful partnership with me, and it will matter for the rest of eternity. There will be actual reward through the rest of eternity that you did this with me. So we have this hope. We have this promise of hope that every choice matters. The choices that are heartbreaking, that are grievous because they ignored God, they didn't involve trusting him and walking with him, those are so perfectly removed and refined out of us. And Colossians 2 says that certificate of debt has been removed. If you have any doubts about that, I really beg you, talk to somebody else about that. Come talk to me or talk to one of our elders or talk to somebody else that you trust spiritually. If you are a believer, you put your faith in Christ, and you struggle with a sense of condemnation, you feel like your past is still a weight of shame against you when you stand in front of God, please talk to somebody and start working on removing that false weight from your shoulders. And then to recognize now all my joyful choices, all my obedient choices, all my partnership choices, whether it was something that looked beautifully Christian, I pursued the Word of God, I shared the gospel with somebody, or whether it's mundane, I was just cleaning house, I was doing laundry, I just did the stuff that had to be done, but I chose to genuinely do it in a living partnership with God, then Father, you and I made that moment eternal. That choice matters forever. Let's pray together. Father, these are truths that we know, but we need your Spirit to keep taking them deeper and deeper and deeper into our thinking. Father, you're not content to leave us where we are. You're not content that I would stay where I am, or that any of us would stay where we are in living this truth, pondering this truth, and then finding joy in the certainty of your rewards. Jesus, you thought it was important to keep reminding us that we not live to impress others, that we not live for the human applause or the human pat on the back, but that we're wise enough that we actually look you in the face, Father God, and we choose that we want to please you. And we want to please you in love. We want to please you in faith and trust. We want to please you because we agree with you that the very life of Jesus Christ dwelling within us is our power now to please you. And that we choose these things with the additional amazement and gratitude. Every choice will matter and every choice will be rewarded. Father, there are people sitting in this room that just this past week have been weary of doing good. And you understand that moment, Father. That's why your word frequently tells us to not be weary of doing good. But you knew we would face that weary moment. And Father, for any who have grown weary of doing good, have grown weary of doing the right thing, and sometimes while someone else sabotages their efforts, while someone else doesn't cooperate with doing good, while someone else doesn't make it seem worthwhile, that your Spirit would elevate our vision, that we recognize that if it was pleasing to you, it was truly worthwhile. If it was pleasing to you, it matters for the rest of eternity. Father, thank you for your tender grace, your tender help in our moments of weariness. Help us to